You'll open your Bible this morning to Proverbs chapter 3. Every several years or so, I come back to this verse because it has such application to our lives today. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, thus saith the Lord, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you keep notes, I've entitled this one, Life Coach. Life Coach. Before we look into that, let's pray and ask God to give us understanding. Father, we come to you again and in thanksgiving that we have this wonderful absolute truth. Pray that you would open our minds to it. Pray that you would walk amongst us as your word is preached, and you would speak to every heart here, every heart that's listening, even online, Lord. And pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in that. And if there be one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, I do pray, Father, that you might use your word to draw that one to yourself through Christ. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Life Coach. It's a popular new concept that's crept into the modern era today, the idea of having a life coach. Many people, and that's because many people today recognize that they live in a very complex world and they need help in sorting out their life and making sense of it. Because sometimes life doesn't make any sense. Sometimes it makes no sense at all. So what they do is they hire life coaches. And these life coaches are used to help them navigate the treacherous waters of life. And for the record, I would remind you that before the fall in Eden, life coaches weren't necessary. They didn't need them before the fall. And the reason is because sin is what makes this life difficult and dangerous. Sin. The curse of man in Genesis 3, 17 and 19 is my proof verse. Then to Adam he said, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. But thorns and thistles they shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the herb of the field. And the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, to dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Before those words were spoken, there was no need for a life coach. After those words were spoken, not so much. We do need a life coach, that's for sure. And if you look down to verse 23, it says, the curse of man also included separation from God. The Lord God sent him out of the garden to till the ground from which he was taken. And from that point on, from the point where he put the cherubims up with the flaming swords, from the point when God separated from man, from that point on, life became very difficult. So to be clear, I'm all for having a life coach. I think it's a great idea. And I also think it is a basic necessity to get through this life. Now, that being said, it also should be said that you must have the right life coach if you want your life to make sense and have meaning. You just can't go and say, okay, who wants to be my life coach? You got to have the right one. And in choosing the right life coach, the world makes a terrible mistake. Most of the world makes a terrible mistake. And here's why. They want somebody to be a life coach that they can feel free to open up to, that someone they can trust with their innermost feelings, a person who is professional and wise and experienced in life, someone they like and can feel comfortable with, and a person they can relate to and who won't judge them too harshly. That's what you're looking for in a life coach. So they choose somebody that fits that description. But the problem is, when you choose a person to be your life coach, in many ways, those life coaches are no different than you. I almost can't keep a straight face when I say it, but it's so true. They're no different than you. their knowledge, their experience and understanding is limited, with the exception of our brother Andrew. He'd be a great life coach, and I'll tell you why at the end of the sermon. Anyway, and the reason they have life coaches is because their understanding is limited. They still go to seminars. They still get updated information on what's going on in the mental health field, in the life field, and the only thing that they can give you is advice and some pills. That's all they can do. And actually, many of them rely on life coaches themselves. I had a student of mine, a lady student, many, many years ago, a wonderful lady, and she was going to a life coach. She went to a life coach for 23 years. 23 years. And so one day, I couldn't help myself. I had to say to her, and I wasn't a Christian at the time, as I recall, I had to say to her, "Barbara, why have you gone to a life coach for 23 years?" And she said, "Because I go every week." I said, "Well, is he helping?" "A little bit." I says, "Well, don't you think after 23 years of going to see him at least once a week, don't you think you should be done with him by now?" And she pondered that because she'd never put together 23 years and getting over it. And she said, "Well, I guess so, but I feel comfortable when I go there." 23 years. And that life coach made no impression on this woman at all. So, although they may be of some limited help to you, they cannot open your mind to the big picture of life. They can't do it. And they can't open it to the ups and downs of life. And I'll tell you why. Because first of all, they can't make sense of a tragedy. They'll come up with some reason why something happened and it's a tragedy. They can't change your life or your attitude. They can only advise you to do that. They can't do it. They can't explain why bad things happen to good people. They come up with some canned answer. They can't speak about the two realms that you walk in every day, the spiritual realm and the physical realm. They can't give you real peace, love, or joy. They can't give that to you. They can't impart that to you. And they have no direct knowledge to explain suffering, death, heaven, or hell. They have none. No direct knowledge. I'm not speaking about the world. And those are the things that are the important things in life, aren't they? Those are the things we need a life coach to help us get through. I tell you without a doubt, no human life coach can adequately guide you through life's rocky road. They can't do it. And I say that because life is supernatural. Listen, life is supernatural in that it was created by God. Colossians 1:16. "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." Created. Life is supernatural. It's not an accident and it's not an evolutionary event. It's a supernatural event. Therefore, stands to reason. You need a supernatural coach. You need a supernatural life coach. And there are only two of them on this earth. Only two. The sovereign God and Satan, the devil himself. Those are the only two. And unfortunately, because of Adam, we come to this world with an assigned life coach. And that would be the devil. He's our life coach when we come into this world. Psalm 51:5. Testifies to that absolute truth. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." It's talking about original sin. We come into this world, and Satan is our father. Hard to believe, and I'll give you a verse for that in a moment if you don't know it. But the good news, that's the bad news. The good news is God sent his son to free us, to free his elect people from the bondage of Satan. He sent them. 2 Corinthians 2:25, 26 reveals this truth. "May God may perhaps give them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, that they may escape from the snare of the devil after having been captured by him to do his will. God freed an elect people. And the truth is, if you submit your life to Christ by loving him enough to obey his word, then you too will be delivered from Satan if you haven't been already. John 14:23 declares that. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. That's the promise. And without a doubt, that's the greatest update any human life can ever have, bar none. It's also important to note that since life was created by a sovereign God, he has a plan for every living life. We just talked about that this morning. If he created it, he didn't just create it and say, let's watch what happens. He didn't do that. He had a plan. Matthew 10:29 reveals that everything in nature lives and dies by God's will. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from the Father's will. Everything in nature is at God's will, living or dying. And if you go down to verse 30 in Matthew 10, it reveals that man's days, your days and my days, are numbered by our sovereign Creator. He says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He's in charge. And he wouldn't do that if he didn't have a plan. He wouldn't say and watch every sparrow. Matter of fact, this morning I was downstairs and one of the ladies let out a little peep about a daddy long legs. Well, today was his day to die. He was in the right place at the right time for that to happen. And I took him out. Now, there's also a plan, not only for your life, but there's a plan for what assets you'll have in this life. For those who reject the biblical Christ, not professing Christians, but those who reject the biblical Christ, Ephesians 2:12 lays out their assets. It says that at that time, you were without Christ, you're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, that's God's people, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You don't have God if you don't have Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. And he meant it. So what does that mean if you don't have God? It means that God is angry with you. Psalm 7:11, God is angry with the wicked every day, and that's what he calls people outside of Christ, wicked. It means you will follow the will of your father, your life coach, the life coach that were assigned to you at birth, Satan. John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. That came from God himself. That's tough stuff to hear. If you're listening to this and you're outside of Christ, that's tough stuff to hear. But that's good that you're hearing it, because it's the absolute truth. And life for those who listen to their life coach from hell, if you listen to that and your life, if you live there with him, life's going to be very hard for you. Now, I know, before I was saved, I thought life was hard, but I thought I had a good grasp of it. Everything was okay. But it really wasn't. And I didn't know that until I had something to contrast it, which was salvation. When I look at my life for 49 years unsaved, and I look at my life for 22 years saved, I can't believe I lived it. I was listening to the wrong life coach. Life will be hard. Why will it be hard? Because first of all, you're going to be walking in darkness, the Bible says. Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And Proverbs 13:15 testifies that if Satan is your life coach, life is going to be difficult. The way of the unfaithful is hard. And the reason all this is true is because you have no one to help you except Satan. Nobody. God isn't helping you. Without God, the Bible says, if you're outside of Christ, you don't have God helping you. Only Satan. And let me ask you, how much good do you think the devil is going to want to put in your life? How much do you think he's going to want to help you get through this life? And if you live out your life, the hard way, the dark way, if you do that, your life coach will lead you right into hell. Proof verse. On judgment day, you'll be sentenced and thrown into the eternal lake of fire. Revelation 20:13-15 declares that absolute truth. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, that is, in Christ, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Another thing that's really tough. It's tough to tell people that truth, but it is the truth. It's an absolute truth. As a matter of fact, I would remind you, if you study the scriptures, that Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. And the reason is it's important that people who are outside of him, who don't believe in the biblical Christ, hear that message so that perhaps God, peradventure, will give them repentance. And you can only have that if you hear this absolute truth. And as sure as God is sovereign, I assure you, if you end up in the lake of fire, I assure you, there is no life coaches in the flames to help you. Nothing. If you don't accept the biblical Christ as your life coach, God promises that you'll be locked up in a very small black space that's filled with torment and pain. Revelation 14:11. And the smoke of their torment ascended forever and ever. They have no rest, day or night. That's God talking about something that he created for those who would reject the biblical Christ. If you're listening to this, and the biblical Christ is not your life coach, today would be a great day to upgrade your life. Today would be a great day to upgrade your life. If you're a Christian in name only, if you're a heretic, or you're a tare, or you're unsaved, or you're irreverent to God, it's not too late to bring on a life coach that will make a huge difference in your life now and in eternity. If God is speaking to your heart about upgrading your life by making the biblical Christ your life coach, you call me or you see me, and I'll show you in his word how he's stirring your heart or calling you to be one of his elect children. That's the bad news. My brothers and sisters in Christ, our life coach and our text gives us five things to help us get the victory over this life. He gives us five things. In Proverbs 3:5-6, it's a command. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. The first thing we are to do, first thing our life coach says to do, is trust in the Lord. Now let me ask you, who else can you trust in? Can you trust in yourself? No, not really. You're limited. Can you trust in your friends? Can you trust in a paid advisor? Can you trust in money? Can you trust in power? Can you trust in toys or things? Can you trust in any of that? And if you do, what will be the end result? How will they help you get through this life? Who has the power to get you through the dark roadblocks that haunt our life? Who has the power to do that? Who has the power to help you with sorrow, pain, grief, guilt, illness? The list goes on and on. Who has the power to help you? Money can't do it. A lot of rich people suffer. Power can't do it. Power is a state of mind more than anything else, although you can yield it, I suppose. But it can help you get through the tough things in life. Who can you trust Who can you trust in to give you victory over Satan, over sin, over suffering, over shame, over guilt? Who can you trust? Your life coach, Jesus, says, trust in the Lord. The invitation is, come to me, all you are who are heavy and weary laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. That's an invitation. Give it to me. When we prayed a moment ago, that's what that was all about. I don't know how many of you are going to walk out of here feeling lighter. I do. I feel lighter already. I do. I feel better already. And I hope you do as well, because that's the whole purpose of it. Otherwise, you know what it is? It's a ceremonial exercise that has no benefit. In other words, if you sit here and you come to church, you warm the pews up, and you go through the motions of it, but there's nothing in your heart flowing out. There's nothing there. But if you come here and you know that God says, be anxious for nothing, and there are things in your heart, and you give it up to Him, you do that, then you'll walk out those doors and you're going to feel pretty good. Or you might go downstairs and have an extra helping of food. You'll feel so good. That's what it's supposed to do. And the only one that has the power to do that is God. Satan doesn't have that power. And if he did, he wouldn't give it to you anyway. Isaiah 41:10, the sovereign Lord promises you, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He was running out of things to say of how he was going to help you. More than a mouthful. If he just said, fear not, for I am with you, that's good. I could stop there. But he says, no, don't even be dismayed about this. He says, because I'm your God. He's claiming you as his people. And as born-again believers in Christ, you are his people. And you have the right to claim everything in this book. You have the right to put your name in front of any one of those verses that have to do with blessings, that have to do with duty or responsibility. That book was written for you. It's actually the greatest love book that was ever written. Because it has a history to it. It's not just, then God came, he died for everybody, and he pulled out a people. It wasn't that. You have history there. Precious history. But it's yours, but you have to claim it. There's nowhere in the Bible I've ever found, maybe you have, I've never found anywhere that says, oh, don't worry about it, don't do anything, I'll do it all for you. He doesn't do that. He gives you everything. He loads you up when you get born again. He gives you all the power you need in him to get through life. And he even puts his spirit in you to give you the influence you need to be going in the right direction. And if that wasn't enough, Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Where are you going? I've heard Bible-believing Christians, people I know that are going to go to heaven, say to me, you know, I felt so alone. Well, it wasn't you. It wasn't because God left. It was because you walked away from Him. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. You know what that means? There's not one person here that won't forsake somebody else. I'm going to forsake my wife one day, or she's going to forsake me. She's going to leave, or I'm going to leave. I'm going to forsake some of you when I leave. Or you might forsake me. Jesus is never going to forsake you. Never. I got to tell you something. One of the problems in the Christian church, especially in the believing church today, is they don't dare to believe what they're reading. They don't dare to put legs to it. They don't dare to put it in their heart and claim it every day. Claim it. And I don't care how tough your life is. I don't care how good your life is. Claim it. If you're born again and he called you and you are truly a believer, claim it. When he says, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you, you should have a conversation. I have a conversation with him in the grocery store. I have a conversation with him in the car. I have a conversation with him with other brothers and sisters. I talk to him all the time because I believe he's there. And if people think I'm nuts because I do that in public, it's okay. I don't care what they think. I care what he thinks. I will never leave you nor forsake you. No one, or nothing in this universe can trump the command to trust in the Lord. Nobody can trump that. I don't care what it is. Second thing we're to do is to trust in the Lord with what? With all of our heart. Okay, here we go. All of our heart. Exactly what does that mean? I mean, for the legalist amongst us that needs it all broken down, it simply means this. Love God with all your being, period. Mind, soul, body, and strength. All of it. Love Him. Make Him the first thing in your life and everything else a sideshow. That's how it's got to be. That's what He commands. You got to love Him with all your heart. What does it mean to trust in God with all your heart? It means there's no doubt in our heart, and there shouldn't be any doubt in your heart, because we know that if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. How can you have any doubt in your heart if God's word says that if God is for you, who's going to come against you? Who will lay a charge to God's elect? Who's going to do it? Who? You think when Nebuchadnezzar went up to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they said to him, "We're not going to bow to you. Our God will save us, and if He doesn't, it's okay. We're not going to do it." He didn't care. Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful man in the world. So what did he do? He had a furnace, and he heated that thing up 7 times more than it normally was. And then they brought him and were throwing him in, and some of his soldiers got burned up because it was so hot. They threw him in, and then they looked and watched, and they saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and somebody else walking with them. And he said, "Take them out." And he took them out. And the Bible says there was no fire or even smoke on these boys. Nothing. They didn't care. Daniel didn't care when they said you can't worship your God, when they made an edict for that. And if you did, you're going to be thrown in with the lions. After they wrote it, he made sure he left his door open, if you read the passage, and he faced east, and he started praying, knowing those people were going to see him, knowing he was going to go into the lion's den, and knowing that I'd be standing up here someday, somebody would be, preaching his faith in God. He didn't care. And when those men threw him into the lion's den, he just wrapped himself up in all that nice fur. I can tell you, I've mounted lions as a taxidermist. The fur is long, luxurious. I sometimes visualize, when I read Daniel, him laying there, cold dungeon, with those big cats purring, and him just all cuddled up there with all that nice hair, keeping him nice and warm. And there's the king, and he can't eat, he can't sleep, he doesn't want to hear music. He's miserable. You see, those people believed. They believed up unto death. And that's what's wrong with our lazy modern church today. We don't dare to believe it. We don't dare to put legs to it. We just read it, or we're looking for something to satisfy us. Man, trust in the Lord with all your heart, that's enough. We can know that we can trust Him with all of our heart because He's for us. It also means that there's no fear in our minds. It's not just in our heart. We should have no fear in our minds because we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. You can't possibly have a bad hair day with that verse. And I mentioned downstairs, I had a horrible week this week. But I kept it. I kept it. I lost a little joy, but I got it all back. I don't care what it is. Beloved, you have to understand, this is an attitude that you have to adjust to in order to claim all these blessings. That's what it means to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And to trust in God with all your heart means we know we have all the power. You know, I've always been amazed at that. We have all the power in Christ to get the victory over our enemies and the victory over this life. Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." You know what? That was addressed to the disciples in the first church who had these amazing powers that we don't have anymore. But the fact of the matter is, the secondary interpretation is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Another thing is I have the victory over the world because He had victory over the world. Everything that Jesus Christ had a victory over, you have a victory over in Him. You just have to claim it. That's it. You just have to claim it. the third command in our text. This is a big one. And lean not unto your own understanding. Our life coach gives us the command because of our view of life and God's view of life. His view and our views are polar opposites. We look at life so much different than God. We look at death, for example. We look at death as a horrible thing. Oh, it's a cessation of life. That's it. We're all done. And I don't know what most people think, but they think that. Death, for a believer, is a calling to come home. It's like the old spaghetti commercial on Wednesday. Anthony, come home! It's just like that. Except he's saying, come on home to glory. Your time is up down there. Let's go. I tell you, there have been people sitting in these pews listening to these messages that are home in glory now. They're not looking down. They're not sorry they went. They're blessed. Lean not on your own understanding. Isaiah 55:89 demonstrates just how different God's views are than ours. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. We have such a meager understanding of life and the events of life. Why? Because they're limited. They're limited to our experiences, they're limited to our feelings, they're limited to our knowledge, they're limited to what we observe, and they're limited to our emotions. They're limited. And even an earthly or a human life coach, their life is limited. Their understanding is limited. Their wisdom is limited. And trying to figure out our life using our flawed understanding, what does it do? It makes life more difficult. It makes life more difficult. And every one of us knows that's true. How many times is something happening and you're trying to figure out, well, what happened there? What was that all about? And then it works out. Oh. That's why our life coach commands us not to lean on our own understanding, because our understanding is not his understanding. I said to somebody this morning, they were talking about how frustrated they get sometimes. And I said, the frustration isn't because of the event that's happening. It's because the event is not turning out the way you thought it should turn out. It's turning out the way God wanted it. And as a result of that, your will and his will are not in alignment anymore. And that's why people lean on their own understanding. Oh, I'll take care of this. This is no big deal. I'll take care of it. I want to tell you something. If you could change anything in your life, you would have done it a long time ago, but you didn't. God changes lives. He's the only life coach that has the power to do that. Fourth command is, in all your ways acknowledge him. That's what I mean. I talk to him all the time. He's in this room right now. I don't see him, but I know he's here. I feel his presence. I talk to brothers and sisters in Christ, and I feel their pain. I feel their joy. I feel Christ in them. And constantly, we're in a spiritual realm. That's where believers are supposed to be, in a spiritual realm. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That means when we submit and obey his commandments, we are acknowledging him. When we continue in his word as his disciples, we are acknowledging him. James 4:7-8 gives us the blessings for when you submit to God. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's one blessing. And next, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Simple. We acknowledge God when we look up to him as our protector and our helper. No matter what happens, that's the first thing out of my mouth. It should be the first thing out of your mouth. Sometimes it's, Lord, I don't know why that happened, or that's going to leave a mark, but that's okay. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I'm helped. And how about his providence? When we look at God's master plan, we're acknowledging him. Even to your old age, I am he, and even to your into gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and I will deliver you. Isaiah 46:4. These belong to you. These are your promises. And that's just a taste of what we receive when in all our ways we acknowledge him. And lastly, the fifth element of our life coach gives us is he shall direct thy paths. That should be pretty common. If you're walking with God, then he's directing your path. He's promising us. If we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, all your ways, then he will direct our paths. That means we got to take ourselves out of the equation. You're walking. He's doing. We need to submit and obey and depend on the good shepherd to lead us through this life. He is called the good shepherd for a reason. Any plan you may have for your life, whatever you think it is, I don't know, whether you're young or old, we all have plans for our life, but whatever it is, it isn't worth mentioning. It isn't even worth thinking about when you compare it to the plan God has for his children. I love Jeremiah 29:11. The promise, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's the plan he has for every one of his children. And 1 Corinthians 2:9 backs that up. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him. Those belong to you. You can take those home. You can live those. If you live those, if you do live that, you won't lean on your own understanding. You will want him to direct your path. Without a doubt, there's no greater blessing in the world to have the sovereign God guiding your life. Why? It takes all the pressure off, number one. It takes the fear out of the unknown. And it brings comfort during trials and tribulations. The best that a human life coach can do is hug you, give you a pill to make you sleepy. That's it. But God will bring you absolute comfort in your time of grief or sorrow. So I want you this morning to leave this place and rejoice, because your life coach has a custom plan made just for each and every one of you. And if you follow it, I absolutely guarantee you, you'll be victorious in this life. And that means you will claim the promise of Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So relax. Understand there's a plan. Use his plan and not your plan. Go home, because your sovereign life coach has you and your life in the palm of his hand. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that we do have all these promises, Lord. I pointed out just a spattering of them, Lord. And they're all ours. Oh God, pray you'd help us to take those promises and use them every day. Help us to understand that everything that happens in our life is part of a plan, a master plan by our Master, the sovereign God. Help us, Lord, to realize that and to live our lives and worship you and glorify you by giving up the little kingdom of I and accepting your will over our will. Help us to do that, Lord. We struggle with that, and we'll struggle with it till you call us home. But Lord, you can help us by strengthening our faith. We do thank you, Lord, that you've given us so much, and there's just so much there. Help us to have the wisdom to use it for our good and your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Closing hymn is found in our...